भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we're in a new chapter now.
Yeah, 11-2.
Is it in this book? We need a new book. This is really falling apart. Text 2. Dismiss. Okay. Someone needs to leave a marker in here. Okay. We'll do the word for word. Kaha. Who? New. Indeed. Rajan. O king. Indriyavan. Possessed of senses. Mukunda Charana Ambujam. The lotus feet of Lord Mukunda. Nabajet. Would not worship. Sarvataha Mrityu, being faced by death on all sides. Upasyam, worshipable. Amara Uttamai, by the best of liberated personalities. Ko nu Rajanindriyavan. Mukunda Charnambujam Napajet Sarvato Mrityu Upasyam Amaro Tamahai Ko Nurajan Indriyavan Mukunda Charnambujam Napajet Sarvato Mrityu Upasyam Amaro Tamahai. Please chant. Vaishnavis?
Thank you.
Translation, purport. My dear King, in the material world, the conditioned souls are confronted by death at every step of life. Therefore, who among the conditioned souls would not render service to the lotus feet of Lord Mukunda, who is worshipful even for the greatest of liberated souls? Purport. The word Indriyavan is significant in this verse. Indriyavan means possessing senses. Although we are conditioned within the material world, by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, we are awarded a human body which possesses distinct senses such as eyes, ears, tongue, nose, and skin. Generally, the conditioned soul uses these senses in a false attempt to exploit the material nature for sense gratification. But our material senses and their objects are temporary, and it is not possible to become peaceful or happy in the attempt to gratify our temporary senses with the temporary sense objects offered by Maya, the illusory energy of the Lord. In fact, our strenuous endeavor to satisfy the material senses inevitably brings exactly the opposite result, namely material suffering. A man is attracted to a woman. Being sexually aroused, he marries her, and soon there's a family that requires ever-increasing support. In this way, his innocent and simple life is ended, and he spends the major portion of his life working hard like an ass to support the demands of the family. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila describes very clearly that in spite of the exhausting work a man performs throughout his life, his family is ultimately dissatisfied, and when the exhausted father reaches old age, the irritated family members look upon him just as farmers look upon an old and useless ox. Sometimes the sons dream of receiving their father's money as an inheritance and secretly wish for him to die. Nowadays, people strongly resent the trouble of caring for elderly parents and therefore send them to an institution where they die lonely and neglected after a life of hard work for their so-called loved ones. One doctor in England is seriously proposing euthanasia for elderly persons who are no longer productive. Nowadays, some people, desiring material sense gratification but hoping to avoid the inconvenience of family life, try to enjoy free sexual relations with women without the trouble of marriage. Through birth control and abortion, they eliminate the disturbance of caring for children. In this way, they hope to enjoy material sense gratification without any material impediment. By the laws of nature, however, such persons become bound in a network of sinful reactions by avoiding their real duty to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and by thoughtlessly causing violence and suffering to others for increasing their own sense gratification. Caught in a network of impious activities, they drift further and further away from their original pure consciousness and gradually lose all power to understand the laws of nature. Therefore, it is stated here, Sarvato Mrityu. Mrityu means death. Death suddenly appears, startling such confident sense gratifiers and destroys their entire program of so-called material happiness. Often such persons are afflicted with ghastly diseases and undergo inconceivable suffering, which ends in death. If a sincere well-wisher points these facts out to them, trying to inform them of the reality, they become angry and accuse them of being a pessimist or a religious fanatic. In this way, they blindly ignore the law of nature until these laws inevitably smash them down and drag them out of their fool's paradise. Because of an excessive accumulation of sinful results, they are forced into situations of great distress by the laws of karma. Sinking down into the lower species of life, they lose all awareness of that which lies beyond their gross material senses. Sometimes a living being is able to understand the miserable result of materialistic sense gratification. Being frustrated by the pain and sufferings of materialistic life and being ignorant of any superior life, he adopts a neo-Buddhist philosophy and seeks shelter in so-called nothingness, that there is no actual void within the kingdom of God. The desire to merge into nothingness is a reaction against material pain. It is not a tangible concept of the Supreme. For example, if I feel unbearable pain in my leg and the pain cannot be cured, I may finally agree to have my leg amputated. But it is far better to remove the pain and keep my leg. Similarly, because of the false ego, we think, I am everything. I am the most important person. No one is as intelligent as me. Thinking in this way, we suffer constantly and experience intense anxiety. But as soon as we purify the ego by admitting that we are insignificant, eternal servants of Krishna, our ego will give us great pleasure. Shri Krishna, the Lord of the blissful, variegated spiritual sky called Vaikuntha, is always absorbed in transcendental enjoyment. In fact, Shri Krishna is a reservoir of all pleasure. People absorbed in materialistic enjoyment are bound by the laws of omnipresent death. But if we endeavor instead to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can immediately be connected to his Ladini Shakti, or blissful potency. If we serve Krishna under the guidance of his authorized representative, the spiritual master, we can immediately get relief from material distress. Then we shall not yearn after nothing, but instead we shall be able to relish unlimited spiritual bliss in the service of the Supreme Lord. Sarvato Mrityu also indicates that birth and death occur on every planet in the universe. Therefore, our so-called space travel and cosmic consciousness are useless, since there is no eternal life anywhere within the material cosmos. In conclusion, to understand the futility of engaging in the service of anything other than Krishna, and to engage instead in serving that which is eternal and full of bliss, is the highest possible development of intelligence. Although our present intelligence is narrow, being conditioned by the laws of nature, we can create unlimited good fortune for ourselves by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, learning to discriminate between that which is temporary and useless and that which is eternal and real. Some nice instructions, nice discussion here. Kind of the basics of Krishna consciousness, of how miserable everybody is and how to receive that the liberation and the relief from material sufferings and to attain shelter at Krishna's feet where there's unlimited pleasure. But describing here in detail some of the anxiety that conditioned souls go through. Only really a fool or someone very unintelligent or someone who's probably just a really lazy is not conscious that there is death around everyone, us at all times. Anxiety, wherever we look, there's always anxiety. So that suffering is felt like a burning fire, and we should admit that it is there, that there is death happening. There's HIV, AIDS. If that won't get you, then the ISS will get you, and if that doesn't get you, the COPD will get you. There's not even enough letters in the alphabet nowadays to figure out all the combinations of all the diseases and things that are going to get you, to kill you. So, obviously, there's that problem for everyone. But Krishna, if one would just take shelter in Krishna, that's all. If they would just see that I want eternal life, and it is there in God's kingdom, like is described here, the word Vaikuntha, a place where there's no anxiety. This is what we're searching for. And Srila Prabhupada, if we look over on the bookshelf, one very popular book that we can always seem to give out very easily is Chant and Be Happy. Prabhupada, from the very beginning, he said, chant Hare Krishna, make your life sublime. This was his advertisement. This book sells like hotcakes because everyone is in anxiety. If you have been on Sankirtan with Vaishishik Prabhu, one of his best lines is that he says, talks about how important these books are. He goes, yeah, they tell you how to get out of stress, anxiety. Have you ever heard about anxiety or stress? Have you ever heard of stress or anxiety? And everyone goes, oh, yeah, of course. So it goes without saying that we are offering something that everyone wants. We're offering them peace of mind and happiness. I was out on my way to Gainesville last Friday in 100-degree weather. I'd been outside. I was fried by the sun. I was headed to go spend money that I didn't want to spend on a stupid car. And I was really tired because I'd been bitten by ants in my bed all night the night before. And I was thinking, why would I want to come back to this material world? I was thinking, why would anyone think that this is a place to come back to be scorched and bit. It's like a hellish planet, especially here in summer, especially last week, 100 degrees every day. So I was thinking, it's crazy, why would anyone want to come back? And so then I was thinking, I should just head to Harinam. So I went over and I went on Harinam. Within a few minutes, I'm singing and dancing, chanting. It wasn't hot, wasn't miserable, no anxiety, completely gone. And I was thinking, this process works. You chant and you can become happy. Why doesn't everyone do it? There they are, sweating in their cars. Get out of the car. Come over here and chant with us and experience it. So this is all because we have, like it says here, we've admitted that we are in anxiety. It says, thinking in this way, we suffer constantly, experience intense anxiety. But as soon as we purify the ego by admitting that we are insignificant, eternal servants of Krishna, our ego will give us great pleasure. So it's just a matter of admitting, yes, I'm in misery. I'm suffering. Why? Because I think I'm this body. I think I'm a servant of this stupid body. But no, I'm actually a servant of Krishna. And how nice it is to serve. How nice it is to sit there in this beautiful temple room and string flower garlands, or to make a flower dress for Krishna. How ecstatic it is. I was telling someone at the Ascended Feast the other day about how in Vrindavan they close off the courtyard and they put water and they get these men with baskets of flower petals and they start from the middle and start making, they just lay the petals on the water in designs, beautiful designs. I mean, what a transcendental thing to do. And then you look at it when you get out, and it's all these gorgeous designs. And then they take Krishna on a boat ride through the petals, throwing flowers. What an opportunity we have to get rid of our anxiety and to experience Vaikuntha right now. It can be the spiritual world. It's just a matter of purifying that ego, going from false ego to the real ego, that we are spirit, soul, meant to serve and please Krishna. But the conditioned soul, he's thinking that, oh yes, there's some pain, oh, I feel a little pinch here and there, but I have my material solutions, which will solve the problems. But you can't satisfy material pain with material solutions. You have to have a spiritual solution to get rid of it for good and all. So many great saints in Bhagavatam say that the more you try to fix something with something material, you're going to make it worse. It's just going to backfire on you. You think you're going forward, yes, with technology. You think you're going forward with all these gadgets and everything, but actually they're going to backfire on you. And you're going to see that you're only going to be more miserable. Srila Prabhupada has said in the Bhagavatam that this economy will not last. That it's going to crash. Probably in your kid's lifetime. The economy is not going to be like it is today. And it's all going to backfire on us. And we're going to be really miserable. But luckily we have these temples and we have these farms. And we have this philosophy. And we have the holy name. So there are other materialists too, the real stalwart materialists that can say, I'm just going to ride out the misery. I'll just ride it out, bite the bullet, because it's going to get better. It's got to get better. Don't worry, this is a little rough right now, but we're going to see the light very soon. And wishful thinking. I was down at my mother's a week ago, 94 years old, suffering like anything. And then a relative comes over, and they're, of course, all people, when they get together, all they do is talk about their aches and pains, right? And who's died and this and that. And so my other relative was telling about his problems. And he says, I thought it couldn't get worse. He was really thinking, it can't get worse. But every day it gets worse. So this, it's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse for the conditioned soul. And then there's some people that think they can bargain with God. that if I'm really good and I do what you say, I go to church on Sunday, or I'll do this, or I'll worship you for this long a time, get rid of some of this misery, will you? Just give me a little relief. Fix this. Change this in my life. And I promise you, I'll worship you, I'll love you. Right? And they try to bargain with God. But that doesn't work. God has his own terms, and he wants full surrender. And then he will give you eternal life. So this is the path that we've chosen to go on to the bhakti path, and to realize that he is the supreme controller and he wants full surrender. Even myself, I was anxiety because I'm having to spend about 2 hours in the hot sun watering all these plants because it hadn't rained. So I actually was in my mind bargaining with Krishna. I said, oh, come on, let it rain. Please let it rain. You know, I promise I'll do bhajans tonight, and I'll read. I won't do anything else. I won't waste any time. I promise. And then, no, it wouldn't rain. Didn't rain. And I thought, I can't bargain with Krishna. He's the controller. I'm simply the servant. So that's the mentality we have to have, that Krishna is in control. But most people don't have that Krishna factor in their lives. They don't understand that he's the controller at all. They think that somehow or other they will get in control. Such illusion. But what happens is that because Krishna isn't there, then the intelligence, like it's saying here, in human form of life, we have that intelligence to really worship God. But when you lose that intelligence, then you actually weaken yourself. You're in a very vulnerable situation where you're going to be swept away by those wild horses, the senses. Swept away and doing things that you don't even want to do, you know you shouldn't do. Just think of your teenage years or you upcoming teenagers. Listen to what happens. All of a sudden, you're swept away. You don't want to do certain things. You know your mother said, no way, you don't do that. The scripture says, the temple says, don't do this, don't do that. Don't go there. But because intelligence is not that firm and the sensors are those wild horses, you end up doing things you know you shouldn't do. How many of you in this room went through that? And some of the things you regret for your whole life, just like this abortion is talking about. How many girls at this minute are going through that situation, just found out that they're pregnant, just found out they have to abortion, that is going to get in the way of their sense gratification? Regrettable for the rest of their life, and for the next life especially, because they will be aborted. So this is what happens when your senses are not in control, when you don't have the strength to say no. So it's very important that we somehow or other utilize this human form of life. Otherwise, sinful activities are going to be there. You're going to suffer in this lifetime or the next. You don't deserve the human form. You're misusing it. Then down you go. Become an animal where you don't have that responsibility. You don't have to worry about responsibility. Forget about it. Obligations. Just do whatever your senses say. It's very, very important that we realize that with this human form of life that we all have, we have an obligation to our soul to deliver it, to get ourselves out of this burning fire around us, this death all around us. Otherwise, we will be doomed to lower life. But we've made the problems, like I've said. We've made all these addictions and thievery and violence. We've made all the problems ourselves, because we aren't taking shelter of Krishna. And the big problems, now you see them on the big billboards on the way to Tampa. You know, there's all these huge billboards saying, addiction? Call so-and-so. Admit it. Instead of admitting that you're a nice devotee of Krishna, no, admit it that you're a jerk. That now you've gotten yourself and you're addicted to some stupid intoxication. Admit it. Or there's the one... DUI, decide before you drive, decide, make that responsible decision that I shouldn't go in that direction. Or there's another one, just say no. They can't say no because they don't have anything better. We need a position of power to be able to say no. And that position we get by taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet and by the mercy of the spiritual master, like it's saying here. That development of intelligence comes from hearing the instructions of someone who is a complete Goswami, one who has conquered the senses. Such a perfect example of how easy it is to give up this, you know, addiction for different things and this urge for sense gratification. There was a nice disciple, Shyamasundara Prabhu. He was just a hippie, you know, addicted to all kinds of things. But Prabhupada saw that he had some carpentry abilities and said, here, carve this form of the Lord. And so he did that, and Prabhupada came to see him, and he noticed on top of the head of Lord Jagannath there was a package of cigarettes. Because in between the carving, he was still addicted, would have to smoke cigarettes. And Prabhupada looked at it and said, picked up one and said, don't let this little thing get in between you and Krishna. And the next day, finished. No more cigarettes ever again in his life. That easy to give it up. So many of us, we came to the temple with all kinds of horrible habits. Immediately, the next day, we heard from the lips of the pure devotee that gave us the power. Give it up. He's giving us something better to do. It's a positive alternative. So we can get free from this captivity of Maya, this illusion that has bound us here, that keeps us in this reaction of our sinful activities. We don't have to be a slave of our senses, but by becoming a simple servant of Krishna, we can begin to work on our heart and receive some reciprocation from serving, and that love develops. And then we're free. The desires for all these things, they go away. The knots are loosened, and we all have experienced a freedom from that slavery of the senses dragging us here, dragging us there, making us do what we don't want to do. And we can see also a perfect example, like in Harinam the other day. We were chanting very nicely, and they allowed one girl, Christina, to lead kirtan. I don't know if you've seen her. She's the one that dances quite ecstatically here in kirtan. Anyway, I'd never heard her lead kirtan before. Just as intense. And she was singing from her heart like you've never seen before. I mean, she was like holding her heart with a microphone on her heart, giving it everything she had, you know. I mean, I just think of what her life was before and what it is now, how she's taken that opportunity of chanting the holy name so seriously and so sincerely and so intensely that you could see that she was free. You could just see the all the sinful reactions, all the anxiety was gone. She was in complete a state of pleasure, getting that circuit of pleasure from the reservoir of pleasure, like it's saying here of Krishna. And death for the devotee that is intensely engaged in service, it's not a consideration anymore. Even liberation, we're not really concerned about liberation. We just enjoy serving Krishna every day. If it's a side benefit, that's fine. Liberation, we won't refuse it, that's for sure. But real liberation is not being controlled by our senses. And only Krishna can grant that liberation. Mukunda is a wonderful name, means the giver of liberation. So many wonderful names of Krishna. So by chanting these holy names, it does wonders. There's a real nice verse from the Bhagavatam that describes a lot of this. Spiritual enlightenment is possible by the mercy of the spiritual energy of the Lord. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is first addressed to the spiritual energy of the Lord, Hare. This spiritual energy acts when a living entity fully surrenders and accepts his position as eternal servitor. So this is a summary of what we're hearing here, is that if we admit that we're eternal servitor, and if we address him by just just the simple process of chanting the holy name, that goes to our ego and begins to change it. From it's all about me to it's all about Krishna. And then when Krishna is pleased, he can and will, he promises that he will grant us that liberation. And the process, it's joyful. Who can refuse? Kevalananda Kanda, simply joyful. So yes, we have some anxiety. Today I'm sure I've got plenty of anxiety, got lots of things to worry about. And we should all have transcendental anxiety about what are we going to do for Srila Prabhupada's 50th anniversary? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What is the temple going to do about it? Do we have a plan? There was a little email came out to somebody saying, think of something. We got to do something grand to thank Prabhupada for this, giving us this process. So this is a transcendental anxiety, but that is going to give us pleasure. First of all, it racks our head and we're just absorbed in thinking about what to do for Srila Prabhupada. I saw on the internet yesterday that some devotees in France baked 5,000 cupcakes with a thing saying the 50th celebration of ISKCON and gave them out for free. What a nice thing. 5,000 cupcakes, you know. And other people are doing so many different things. We're going to be having a festival here in October 22nd to increase the awareness of what the devotees are doing for in Prabhupada's other 50th percent of becoming more self-sufficient. We're going to be having a big festival out here, getting people from all over with hundreds of miles, hopefully, to come with speakers and all kinds of things. So yes, there's a lot of anxiety in organizing things, but we take on that anxiety as a pleasure, is a burden of love in reciprocation for Prabhupada. He's teaching us how to love, and we can practice that by being anxiety and figuring out how we can express our love for Prabhupada in these next few months. So it is our challenge, and we take up that anxiety with great pleasure. And all the other material pleasure, worried about death, you won't even think about it. Even your own material, this is and that, goes away by chanting the holy name and figuring how we can spread this movement, which is giving everyone opportunity to experience what it feels like to get control of your senses and to feel some liberation from that captivity that the world is suffering so badly with. So anyone have any questions or additions? Back here. Hari Palayana.
I was thinking about how you said material problems, you don't have material solutions, you need spiritual solutions. I was thinking that, what does that mean practically? In my life, I think I live a double life. I have a material life and have a so-called spiritual life when I'm in the temple. And in my material life, I'm using material solutions or trying to come up with material solutions for material problems. My car breaks down, I lose my job, you know.
But ultimately, your real problem is that you have to maintain your family. That's why you have that job, right? That's why you have those anxieties.
I just want a nice air-conditioned room to live, sleep in and eat comfortably.
But it's transcendental, so you can do service, right? So your family can become Krishna conscious, so that you can become liberated and liberate everybody else. So that is a transcendental service. Your job is taking on that transcendental service of you using something to do your chemical composition, whatever it is.
You're too generous, Mike.
But it's totally transcendental, that anxiety. So go ahead, use your material solutions so you can support your family so they can come here and help us with our mission to Prabhupada. Yes.
There's a quote back in on Thakur Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita where he describes that four things have to be in place prior to the stage of advancement. Prior to the stage of Vaishnava liberation, which is bhava, for someone to make advancement. And one is that one needs to be in reasonably good health. Two, he has to be in an economically stable situation. Three, he has to be in a socially acceptable situation. In other words, he can't be an outcast in his community. And four, he has to be intellectually nourished. And by that, Vaitanot Thakur meant that one should regularly be imbibing Shastra. So, three of those four seem quite material, in one sense, you know. But if one's doing it, you know, in service to Krishna and to raise a Krishna conscious family, then it's fully transcendentalized. But still in all, there's a kind of the warning, you know, mm-hmm. don't artificially renounce. Like that.
But in those transcendental actions that we have to do to maintain our material life, which will ultimately our transcendental, we experience dependency on Krishna. And so that's what makes it so transcendental, is that at every minute, trying to do all these different duties, we depend on Krishna for the results. Krishna is there, and he's the Krishna factor. We don't, materialists, they have to, you know, depend on their own hard work and this and that. They're not depending on Krishna, but we're depending on Krishna, so that our consciousness has been taken away from that material. It's all about me consciousness. It's a whole different thing now. So that is, it's a solution. It really works. It helps us to surrender. And that makes the difference at the time of death. It makes a difference now. Yeah, we have to have the balancing act. I get letters every day about how do I balance my material and spiritual life. Just make it heavy on the spiritual side. And then it'll carry through and work out the material things. Because if you're always thinking of Krishna, then it'll lighten up. And all of a sudden you'll go boom, and you'll be to Krishna. Yes, Ekadasi does.
Thank you for the nice class. I was thinking about the ISKCON's 50th anniversary.
Oh, good, some ideas.
Well, not only maybe doing something new and different, but supporting things that are already going on, like more people supporting things that are already happening. For example, you mentioned the Harinam, and I was thinking before that if more people committed to come even just once a month, that with the number of people that we have, we could even, you know, triple, for example, the attendance. And it really makes a difference. Like the 4th of July Harinam was incredible because there were so many devotees. And then, you know, and that's not really a big deal to commit to something like that. It's like 2 hours, once a month, so many people. And we could really ensure that at least on that one corner, everyone either gets a book or they hear the holy name, or we just make a very nice impression.
Yeah, we definitely can increase and intensify what we're doing. I was listening to a really nice program they have in London. They have a place they've rented. It's called the Mantra Lounge. And they had Genevieve singing in there, and it was packed to the walls, packed. And it was a special offering for the anniversary of their Mantra Lounge. I think it's the fifth year. And I could see that, wow, that's making a big difference in London. And I was thinking, if we had something like that here, I know we have this little sanctuary down here. If we had, you know, more mantra, you know, advertise more and get people, that could be jam-packed once a month with people that just love to hear beautiful mantra. We have so many talented people here. But yeah, take the talent on the streets. If we can't do it in there, do it outside. People love it. They'll stop. I've been hearing people that have come back from, you know, the New York chanting on the streets, that people stop in their tracks, you know. Yeah, more Harinam. I agree. All for it. Okay. Thank you, Hare Krishna.